By myself I create, sustain, and withdraw myself within myself by the power of my personal energy, which comprises the material elements, the senses, and the modes of nature. Please repeat. By myself,
by myself,
I create,
sustain,
and withdraw
myself
within myself,
by the power of my
personal
energy,
which comprises the material elements, the senses, and the modes of nature. Report. Although the Lord is the supreme entity, and there is no absolute duality between Him and His creation, since the creation is an extension of His being, although the Lord is the supreme entity, there is no absolute duality between Him and His creation, since the creation is an extension of His being. This oneness is here emphasized by the Lord. Om Jnana Timuram Tasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutade Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sagadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tattakanshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Atmani evatman atmanam srije hanmiyano paliye Atmamayano bhavena pudendriya gunatmana. By myself I create, sustain, and withdraw myself within myself by the power of my personal energy, which comprises the material elements, the senses, and the modes of nature. Krishna is continuing, or rather, Uddhava's representing Krishna's statement here. He's continuing to explain to the gopis why they're not separated from him. And he resorts to an extensive discussion of brahma-gyan, spiritual knowledge. In order to do that, knowledge means, ultimately, spiritual knowledge and, ultimately, knowledge of oneness. Here the purport states that this oneness is emphasized by the Lord. Because, in fact, there's only one thing. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, someone who realizes this, he actually surrenders to him. He surrenders to Krishna. But his realization is that Vasudeva Sarvamiti. It usually takes many births of cultivating jnana to get to that point. Now, if there's only one thing, then how is it that we surrender? Because surrender is the choice of a second entity. This is the problem that all the Vaishnava acharyas have to deal with, and they do so in different ways. We discussed this to some degree yesterday. Shankaracharya takes this oneness as absolute and exclusive. His philosophy is called Kevaladvaita, only oneness. He tries to erase any distinction at all. There's only Brahma, and anything else is mithya. That idea is negated here. Krishna's and Sridhar Swami comments on this verse, lest one think that this spiritual being is something that's created out of this material elements that he's just been mentioning. He speaks this verse. And the following verse, actually both verses begin with the word Atma. We'll hear more about that tomorrow. Or maybe today we can deal with it, because they have to be taken together. But Atmani, everything is within myself. No, Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Atmani eva, indeed. Eva also means only. It's only in me. Everything is in me. Atmani eva, atmana, by myself, atmanam srije. I create myself. How in the world does an eternal being create himself? And moreover, he says, I destroy myself. Hanmi. And anupaliye, I maintain myself. This is an inconceivable thing. And this is why Shankaracharya says it's an illusion. This is his idea. Different acharyas have different ideas about this. We mentioned also the other day, Vallabhacharya, he's also a monist, but he's Vaishnava monist. He also agrees there's only one thing, Advaita. But that's Shuddhadvaita, Shuddhadvaita, pure monism. Why purified monism, as Prabhupada sometimes says? Because although everything is one, everything is Krishna. And there's truth in that. It is true. Still, most of the Vaishnava charges, they emphasize that within this oneness there is distinction, and in fact this verse implies the same thing. How? Atma maya anubhavena. By the power, or by the... Here it says power. By the authority. Anubhava also means authority. By my transcendental position, using my own shakti. Atma maya means swashakti, my own maya. I do these things. And that maya shakti is consisting of the material elements, bhutas, and there are also senses, indriyas, and there are also modes of nature, gunas. Atmana here, the last word, atmana, means maya, consisting of. Bhutendriya, gunamaya, you can say. And Krishna says something very similar in Bhagavad Gita when he says, gunamayi. What is the verse he says? Daivi hyesha gunamayi, mama maya, durateya. For Krishna, there's not really any difference. The purport here states, although the Lord is the supreme entity, there's no absolute duality between him and his creation, since the creation is an extension of his being. This is, in English, we have to say this many words. It's a big sentence. In Sanskrit, it's just simply put, upadan. Krishna is the material cause of this creation. And exactly what is the upadana or material cause? thread is the cause of the clothes that you're wearing. The clothes that you're wearing are made out of thread. So the thread in the clothing and the thread that the clothing is made out of, there's no distinction between them. It's the same thing. In the same way, Krishna is pointing out here to the gopis that all these things that we heard about yesterday, the earth, water, fire, air, ether, as well as the elements, the same three things, the bhutas, the indriyas, and the gunas. He says, this is me. This is my maya. So we know in Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy we make a distinction between different kinds of maya. So there's the yoga maya, shakti, that is Krishna's internal potency by which he regulates and organizes and inspires devotional service. And then there's his mahamaya shakti, external energy, by which he does the same thing, but with the material energy, those who are not interested in surrendering into his lotus feet. That is the distinction. We make the distinction. For Krishna, there's no distinction. For an engineer, or for an architect, or for the person who designs your AC system, there's no distinction between the heating and the cooling aspects. It's just a flip of a switch. One system is activated by the flip of a switch, the other system is activated by the flip of a switch. And some conscious entity is choosing which switch to flip. So in the same way, this maya is actually one, as far as Krishna's vision is concerned. We see the distinction because we have the choice, and we make that choice regularly. So everything that Krishna reveals to us in either energy is created, is destroyed, and is maintained by this Atma Maya. And it's all within him. Atmani eva. It's only within him. Atmana atmanam srije haninirpalaye. Atma Maya. Now the word Maya has been, we've heard this term also in different places. Where have we heard this term in Bhagavad Gita? Atma Maya. Anybody know the verse? There's several. Nobody studies verses. How about Ajopisan Avyayatma? Yes. Prakritim Swamadhishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. He says it again here. This means, although I'm unborn, my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I'm the lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. This is the important thing that we have to get. Baladevidabhushan, in his commentary on this verse, he looks at the word Atma Maya in various ways, and he's quoting a couple of dictionaries. First of all, he's quoting the Vishwakosha, that to the effect that Maya means Dambhe Kripayam Cha. Maya can mean pride, or Maya can also mean mercy. By my own mercy, I do this. I put together this spiritual energy consisting of devotional service in all of its variety. I put this together by my mercy. For us, for the benefit of the jivas. And from Krishna's perspective also, he puts together this material energy for the same purpose, out of mercy on the jivas. It looks like we're being punished, but that's something that we call tough love. In elementary education. Tough love. Sometimes you have to discipline children. So when we misuse our independence, we have flipped the switch, in effect. It's a mental process. What does the mind do? What are the functions of the mind? We have the subtle body, antakarma, or sukshma shirir, has three components. What are they? Mind, intellect, false ego. So what does the mind do? In Western science and in the concept in English is that there's no distinction between the mind and the intellect. Great minds, we say. a great mind is actually a curse from a Sankhya perspective. So what does the mind do and what does the intelligence do? The mind only makes choices, it flips the switch. Yes or no? Sankalpa, vikalpa. What does the intelligence do? Yeah, intelligence discriminates. It categorizes things. It puts things into, it classifies and organizes information. It retrieves information when needed. Random access memory, we might say. So, that's an important distinction to make. All right, so, out of his mercy, Krishna, through his own mercy, he manifests these things. Now, Baladeva Dadbhushan also defines this term maya by quoting the Nikhantu, another dictionary. There, he said, maya means either awareness, jnana, or power, or desire, you can say, because desire is preceded by jnana bala kriyacha. You have to have the potency to fulfill a desire. So, this is something we hear from other acharyas as well. One acharya commenting on this verse, he says, atma means ichha. So, this is Krishna's maya. And Srila Prabhupada has given us an elaborate purport to explain how the Lord is different from all of us. We mentioned already, Sridhar Swami has mentioned already, that we want to distinguish the Lord from his material elements, because the last verse we've heard, yesterday's verse, Shishirata Nihamala Vakijay, Krishna first introduces this concept. This microphone is sinking. It's kind of like the way Maya sneaks up on us. We don't realize that we're going down until several minutes later you see it suddenly 6 inches below. No, that's not the right thing. No, it's not working. Let's see how this does. Now, what was I saying? All right, anyway, we're discussing the word maya, and maya can mean mercy, maya can mean pride, maya can mean one's desire, maya can mean one's awareness. All these things imply the potency to do something as well. So one might think that because Krishna says that he is permeating all these elements, as well as the mind and the life airs and the elements and the senses and even the gunas, one might conclude, Sridhar Swami has told us, that the Lord is just another material creation. This verse nullifies that. It is not possible for us to say what Krishna is saying in this statement. Atmani eva, only within myself, atmanam srije hanmiyan upalaye, I create, maintain, and destroy myself. Atma mayanu bhavena, by the power or the authority that I have by dint of my atma maya, my own mercy, or my own desire, or my own potency, however you want to see it, bhutendriya gunatmana, consisting of these, all this variety, I do these things. We cannot say this. We are within the grip of this maya shakti. not even the Yogamaya Shakti so much as the Mahamaya Shakti. As we mentioned, that's all right, that's also his mercy. But it makes a big difference. One of so many living entities who are eternal and conscious, spiritual, only one of them is supremely potent, and it's not us. This is the conclusion one has to come to. By myself, I create, sustain, and withdraw myself, within myself, by the power of my personal energy. Krishna can say that he's everything. We cannot say that we are everything. This is the distinction. Gold in the gold mine and gold on your finger as a ring, they're the same gold. There's no doubt. Advaita is there. Parantu, you have to say that there's an important distinction. Better example is the ocean. Here we have the ocean very near. The constituents of a drop of ocean water are the same as the constituents of the entire ocean. But it's one thing to get a drop of ocean water on your head, and it's another thing to have the entire ocean on your head. So, this has to be recognized. So Krishna is mentioning this. But at the moment, that his purpose is not so much to enlighten us about matters of tattva, or philosophical conclusions like this. At the moment, his purpose is to convince the gopis that they're actually not feeling separation from him, even though they are. So, that's a matter that's frankly beyond me, but there's some more that we can say about this relationship between Krishna and his energy in chapter 9. What is the title of chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita? Most confidential knowledge. And what does Krishna say in the beginning of that chapter? I'm not exactly at the beginning, but maybe like verse 4 or 5. Anybody know what he says? There's some very interesting verses there. He says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsthani sarabhutani nachaham teshwavastitaha. That means, by me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them. So again, he's saying, Atmani. Atmani eva. It's only in me. And Krishna can say this, we cannot say this. And, Nachamastani bhudani pasyame yogamaishwaram bhuta prinnacha bhutasto mamatma bhuta bhavanam. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold, my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation, for myself is the very source of creation. It's the same idea. Moreover, yatha kasha sthito nityam vayu sarvatra go mahan tatha sarvani bhutani matsthani tivatari. Understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all created beings rest in me. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritam yanti manikam kalpakshayi punastani kalpadav visrjanyaham. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature, and at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I again create. Does it sound familiar? It's very much like saying, Atmana atmanam srije hanyanupalaye, and Atmamayanubhavena, by the power of my own potency. We mentioned already, Atmamaya means swashakti, my own potency. The confusing thing is that it's bhutendriya gunatmana, bhutendriya guna, gunamaya. It looks like material elements, it contains senses, there are gunas operative in both the mayas. The mechanics of these two mayas does not change at any point, only the intention behind it, which defines it. Your intention defines whether Mahamaya is working or whether Yogamaya is working. So, prakritim swam avashtabhya visrajami punah punah bhuta gramimam kritsvam avasham prakritir vishat. The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again, and under my will is annihilated at the end. Nachamam tani karmani nivahnanti dhananjaya udasina vadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. Mayadhyakshena prakatihi suyate sacharacharam hetunanina kaunteya jagadviparivartate. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction. One of my energies. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction. O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. And under its rule, that manifestation is also created and annihilated again and again. The spiritual world. So if we know this, we have to know this. Why do we have to know this? Because otherwise we end up in the category that he describes next. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanam ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhutamaheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. This knowledge is important for us. So there's long purport on both these verses. Chapter 4, text number 6, and also this is chapter 9, text number 11. They're both very relevant. Now, this is not very entertaining information. There's no nectar stories here. There's no, we've heard these things many, many times, and it's hard to understand them as well. But this is what we have to say, because this is what Krishna is saying. There's very little commentary on these verses, actually. There's no, as far as I know, there's no commentary by Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas. Some other acharyas have said some things. I've mentioned a few of them. So these are some things we can think about. I'm going to stop here if anybody has any questions or comments. Yes?
Yeah.
Microphone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the class. Could we elaborate more on similarities and differences between Kevalam Veda, Advaita, Dhamma, Vishishya Veda, Achintya Veda Veda, and why Achintya Veda Veda is required for more?
As I mentioned, well, it's been said that Vishnu Swami was the very first of the acharyas. But as far as we are aware, Shankaracharya was the earliest commentator on Brahma Sutra. And Shankaracharya's philosophy is Kevaladvaita, pure non-dualism. And through that philosophy, he also denies the spirituality and the eternal verity of the Lord's form, his name, his pastimes, his devotional service, his devotees for that matter. Everything he erases, which of course is offensive. Now, we don't want to blame Shankaracharya too much because he was only following orders. We know the story. Buddhism India had, was overrun by Buddhism in the, say, what is it, 7th century, 9th century, when Shankaracharya came. So he had a mission to fulfill. He had to present Vedic teachings in such a way that they resemble Buddhism, and he did it very well. He did quite well. Every once in a while he implies his real feelings as well, especially in his stotras. But needless to say, the Vaishnavas who were pre-existing at that time did not appreciate his interpretation, or I should say his misinterpretation of the Vedas. And the first one to object to this was Ramanujacharya. Not the first one, there are many, many others, but these are prominent acharyas of whom we have record. So Ramanujacharya said, yes, there is Advaita, that's a fact, but there is specificity within that Advaita. And particularly he's quoting from Vishnu Purana, famous verses that Srila Prabhupada also quotes, that Vishnu has three energies. He has his internal energy, he has his external energy, he has his marginal energy. So that is the distinction that Ramanujacharya posited correctly. Actually, our philosophy is closer to Ramanujacharya's philosophy than any other philosophy, Vaishnava philosophy, for various reasons. But all of them are more or less the same, except for Vallabhacharya and Shankaracharya and Madhva. Ramanujacharya said Vishishtadvaita. There's a specified Advaita. But he didn't explain it much further than that. Therefore, Nimbarkacharya says, well, actually, you know, this specificity that you're speaking of, the Vishesha, which is something that Madhva also mentions, by the way, this Vishesha or Visheshta, it is actually difference. It's not really Advaita, properly speaking. It's actually Bheda. Bheda means difference. So we're talking, Abheda means Advaita. They're the synonymous terms. So Abheda and Bheda, Nimbarka says. It's Bheda Bheda. This is Nimbarka's philosophy. But again, he didn't explain how this can be. Vallabhacharya tried to align himself with Shankaracharya, whose popularity could not be denied even then, what to speak of now. And he therefore agreed with Shankaracharya that everything is one, but everything is Krishna, and within Krishna we have this variety by his own maya, as this verse is discussing. But he didn't discuss how. I mean, to a large degree, you really can't discuss how. Why? Because it is a chintya. And this thing has been emphasized by Jiva Goswami. All Bhagavad Sandarbha in which Jiva Goswami establishes, with all reference to mainly to the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutras, which are the most authoritative, but also Srimad Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami establishes how there can be Bhagavan and what is Bhagavan's nature and how does he work. And in order to do this, he emphasizes, ultimately, the Lord's inconceivable, unlimited, personal potency. That is his Atma Shakti, which is mentioned here as Atma Maya, or his Yoga Maya, we call it, or ultimately, the most essential crystallized pith of that Yoga Maya Shakti is his Ladini Shakti, and that Ladini Shakti is Srimati Radharani. We know. So, this is the emphasis given by Jiva Goswami to a superlative degree, far and away above everything else that's given by others. Now, hardcore empiricists and rationalists and those who want answers for everything, they won't be satisfied by this explanation, because to them it looks like a cop-out. Well, you can just say anything is inconceivable and then be done with it. But actually we see that it's a fact. There are certain things that we just do not have the capacity to understand. What are some examples? He says, for example, if you go to an astrologer, sometimes astrologers, they prescribe, you should wear a particular kind of jewel. What is the power within that jewel to affect a certain kind of response from the material nature? That we cannot understand. Or, how is it that a mantra can relieve you from the bite of a snake or a scorpion? This is also inconceivable to us. There are inconceivable things in this world, this is the point. Srila Prabhupada many times used to say, how is it that a cow simply eating grass turns that grass into milk? Milk which is the wonder food for everyone. Miracle food, he called it. How does she do it? We don't know. But by Krishna's potency, she does it. Now this is his external potency. What to speak of his internal potency can do likewise. So, the emphasis given to the energy of Krishna, which we know ultimately means Srimati Radharani, but as I said, the Sri Vaishnavas also respect as Lakshmi Devi, the energy has to be privileged. Otherwise there's no understanding Bhagavan. Without understanding that Chintya Shakti Prabhupada said, you can have no concept of God. This is the important thing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really made this point emphatic, and he put it front and center, so to speak. The other acharyas only imply this, and they have to imply it. Shankaracharya tries to deny this process. He says it's an illusion. But who's being illusioned if we're all Brahma? That would mean that Brahma is being illusioned. Brahma, which is contrary to the teachings of the Vedas. So his philosophy is actually chala. Chala means cheating. Chala dharma. It's described in the 7th canto, chapter 15, text number 12 through 14, along other upadharma, dharma bhasa, paradharma, other kinds of bogus dharmas. Chala dharma. So this is what Shankaracharya was preaching. Vallabhacharya is better motivated, and his philosophy is also correct, but the emphasis is not so clear, because his accepting of the Lord's transcendental potency is implicit within that philosophical declaration. His teachings actually do define that Krishna, by his own desire, obscures some degree of the creation, such that it creates this variety that makes devotional service possible. But he doesn't explain how he does it. Here in the Bhagavatam it says how. This very verse is telling us. Atma mayanu bhavena, by the power and authority that I have by dint of my own personal potency, which is variegated. It consists of bhutas, indriyas, and gunas. I do this. I create my own appearance. I create my pastimes. I create my own apparent disappearance. This is what he says. I create, preserve, and destroy everything. Within myself, by myself only. This is the point. There is no way to understand this verse unless we understand the Lord's inconceivable potencies. He doesn't call them inconceivable here, but within logic we call this anupapati. Anupapati. There cannot be anything else. For example, if we have a fat brahmachari living in the ashram, let's say his name is Devadatta, then nobody ever sees him eating, ever. Then how is it that he's fat? You have to conclude that Devadatta is eating at night. This is the only possible explanation. Otherwise he would not be fat. So this is same logic as here with regards to this verse. Okay, so Shankaracharya tries to deny the Lord's energies. Vallabhacharya completely equates them with Krishna alone, without making them explicit at all. And all the other acharyas are somewhere in between, but nobody really explains it very, very clearly until we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Giridhara Govardhan ki jai. Sri Sri Radhananda Madhava ki jai. So this is a chincha veda veda. Yes, veda veda. Nimbarka is correct. Veda veda is also. And Ramanujacharya in his own way is trying to say the same thing, but it's not so fine-tuned. Jiva Goswami has put it right on the, hit the nail on the head, so to speak. Achintya veda veda. The achintya shakti has to be prominent. Is it clear? Okay. All right, so then, any other questions? Yes. Roshi Kendro.
So interestingly, you said our philosophy is very aligned with Vishishtadvaita.
All the Vaishnava philosophies, most of them, they posit some sort of Achintya Bheda Bheda, but they don't say so. This is the thing. Philosophy means saying something. So you have to actually say it. And Jiva Goswami has done that best. This is the point. Otherwise, their position is the same. Their conclusion is certainly the same.
Yeah. So, but interestingly, Krishna's arrangement from our parampara, we have aligned ourselves with the Madhvacharya, who is very, very fervently propounded the difference of the living entity. Is it because bhakti really needs a very distinct difference between the living entity and the Lord who have the loving relationship? Because if you look at the Vrajavasis, they don't have any concept that Krishna is one human being. I mean, they're like, Krishna is completely different than me, and I am different than Krishna. But in the oneness, in the sense
who that, says this? Who did you say says this?
In the sense that Krishna is, because of the, if you look at Mother Yasoda dealing with Krishna, it's just like, he's a completely, my son, he's my son, he's
he's only my son, yeah.
And Radharani, I mean,
this is the Atmamaya Shakti, again. Whether you look at it in terms of material energy or spiritual energy, they get completely covered by it.
So
you cannot convince the Vrajavasis that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They won't believe it. In exactly the same way that you cannot convince many Houstonians that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't believe it. But for very different reasons they don't believe it. One is based exclusively on love, and one is based exclusively on hate. So, but the Maya works the same way. Everybody is absorbed in this variety.
But you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, was it Navadvip Mahatmya? He talks about how he meets the different gopis, acharyas, audience with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and eventually he says that the Gaudiya Siddhanta is kind of a, takes different pertinent aspects in the different sampradaya, like two from each.
There's only one absolute truth, otherwise it would not be absolute. There is only one truth, but different people look at it in different ways. This is not a problem with the realization of the acharyas, and is not certainly not a problem with the absolute truth itself. The problem is that the medium of philosophy is itself imperfect. This is the point. Logic itself is imperfect. This is supralogical. It is beyond logic. Achintya khalu ye bhavana tam sthakini yojiye, Jiva Goswami argues. You cannot take ordinary mundane logic and try to make it explain everything that's beyond it, because it's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Yeah. Or better example Srila Prabhupada gives, it's like trying to fit an elephant on top of a plate. The elephant will simply smash the plate. This is what happens with logic. That's why we have different ways of looking at things. It's necessarily a compromise, philosophy. The absolute truth is not understood by philosophy alone. Philosophy can point the way. But actually, bhakti is what reveals.
Yeah, now, so how from our sampradaya, how should we view, I mean, this is something, now that we see a lot of Sri Vaishnavas coming to our temple, I mean, totally participating, but how should we receive them, in a sense, not to discriminate in any way, but how should we see the Sri Vaishnavas philosophy today? Should we see them as one of them? Should we also, at the same time, have a distinction? This may be a very sensitive question, but
no, it's an important question, and at the same time, it's a moot question. Now, how's that? How can it be a moot question and an important question at the same time? We'll call it a jinchibigasana. But it's an important question. If the adhikar, if our faith is based on philosophical consistency, then we have to be very careful about mixing and discussing this point with those of a different philosophical persuasion, because our faith is vulnerable in that area. That's one thing. However, once we realize that the problem is only logical and not ontological, I mean to say the problem is only in the realm of philosophical exegesis and not really a matter of philosophical conclusions. What is the philosophical conclusion? The conclusion of all the acharyas is that you surrender to Krishna. On that platform, we're all the same. And the philosophical differences make very little, they're just small details, not important. If we have that faith, then there's no problem. But you have to look at the individual adhikara. Svesvaya adhikare yanishtha sadguna parikirtita. A person should work within the adhikara that he possesses. If he tries for more than that, it becomes faulty. If he settles for less than that, it also becomes faulty. He has to be right on the money. You see, this is why we have gurus. Guru understanding our own conditional nature and our level of realization, he will give advice accordingly. If he understands that a particular discourse or a particular association is possibly going to injure our faith, then he'll tell us to be careful, avoid it. But if he sees that our faith is much more mature than that, then there's no problem. Faith is what determines the distinctions between these three levels of adhikar that Bhagavatam describes. Kanishtha adhikar, Madhyama adhikar, Uttama adhikar. The only faith. One whose faith is very deep and very learned, he doesn't get moved by any of these things. Only the person who is not sure what he's doing. Kanishtha he's called. Komala Shraddha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. He has pliable faith. Because of that, he should not hear so many things outside. It's the same thing with Narayan Maharaj, or anyone else for that matter. People get confused by what he says. When the faith is not deep, when the faith is deep, then there's no problem. Is it clear? But the thing to understand, what I'm emphasizing here is that the philosophical differences between the Vaishnava Sampradayas, they're not really that, they don't have that much practical importance. The fact of the matter is that all the Vaishnavas are agreeing that we surrender to Krishna. Now they may have different ways of doing that also. That's another matter. And that also, you know, we can't distinguish between philosophical differences and, you know, applicational differences. Rupa Goswami mentions principles, essential principles, and details in devotional service. So we have to know the distinction between those. As far as the fundamental principles go, all the Vaishnava acharyas are saying the same thing. But when it comes to applying those in terms of a concrete time, place, and circumstance, then there may be differences. And when our faith is shallow, not deep, then we get bewildered by the variety of those different applications, and our faith may be threatened in some way. You see?
But we find that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he considered Sridhar Swami, he had very high regard for the commentary of Sridhar Swami.
That's because Sridhar Swami is the best commentator. Sridhar Swami is actually, if you study his commentary very carefully, although he was a member of the Shankara Sampradaya, in fact, he was preaching at Chintyabhedabhe because you have to. There's no other way to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, his sampradaya was not sufficient to accommodate this realization of us.
Yeah.
The Kevaladvaitavad, Mayavad philosophy, is, you know, Shankaracharya taught this thing, but actually it doesn't really, that's why he didn't comment on Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam will destroy it. Bhagavatam is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra, na Sharira Kasha, Bhagavatam. And all the Vaishnavacharyas accept the Bhagavatam, but Shankaracharya very artfully dodged it, because he's cheating. His cheating is authorized, of course, but you have to understand this.
So there's some opinion that Shiva Swami is from the Rudra Sampradaya. I don't know. Is that common?
Yeah, this is not clear to me also. I've heard different things. Some people say he was in the Shankar Sampradaya, other people say he was the Vishnu Swami line. Even the Vishnu Swami line, you have to understand, there's very little information about the Vishnu Swami line. Vallabhacharya, since the 16th century, Vallabhacharya inherited that post in much the same way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inherited the post of the Madhva Sampradaya. But his teachings differ from those of the Madhva Tattvavadi Acharyas, you see. In the same way, Vallabhacharya's teachings, even in the 16th century, there was no way to prove or disprove Vallabhacharya's claim that he was representing the teachings of Vishnu Swami, because they didn't exist even then. Even 500 years ago, we don't have a commentary by Vishnu Swami. We only have the Subodhini, or the Bhashya, Vedanta Sutra, Vallabhacharya. So, I mean, some people for that reason say that the Vishnu Swami line has dried up, but there's too many Diksha representatives. The Diksha Parampara is still going on. In Vrindavan, the Goswamis in the Bankini Hari temple, some of the half of them say that they're representing Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. Others say, you know, Nimbarka Sampradaya. That's disputed. You see, the Vishnu Swami line is very murky. But, you know, and so to say that Sridhar Swami is representing or not representing the Vishnu Swami line is exactly the same as trying to argue whether or not Vallabhacharya represents it. There's no frame of reference. But we don't have a problem with the concept of Shuddhadvaita, but that's only coming from Vallabhacharya. This is the point. No one can disprove, if you make the assertion that Vishnu Swami is teaching Achintya Bheda Bheda, nobody can disprove it. There's no basis. You see? Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Jiva Goswami to do so. And his writings are a force to be reckoned with. The Maya bodies have to take them seriously. Everybody has to take them seriously because they're unassailable.
Does Srila Goswami draw from any opinion or any statements from Vishnu Swami in his satsangas?
My point is that we don't have statements from Vishnu Swami. There's a Diksha line coming on, and the Shiksha line is, you can't find it. Maybe some manuscript somewhere. In my own experience, I've seen all the Pandulipi Sangrahalayas in India, manuscript libraries. They've got so many things and they have no idea what they have. There may be other chapters of Brahma Samhita somewhere. There may be commentaries on the Upanishads by Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas. There may be so many things, including Vishnu Swami's writings. Until they figure out what they've got, who's to say? And the unfortunate thing is that roughly 30,000 Sanskrit manuscripts are disappearing every year. Either by they're getting lost, or they're being stolen, or they're just crumbling, or whatever. So that's that's another concern. But it's no, we don't find statements directly quoting Vishnu Swami; they don't exist. But we find him quoting Sridhar Swami, mainly Sridhar Swami, and Bhagavatam. These two we our teaching is based entirely on Bhagavatam. And Sridhar Swami, and to a lesser extent, Brahma Samhita. Now that's another thing, because Brahma Samhita is from the far south, almost Kerala side, and there we find, due to the influence of Shankaracharya, that the teachings, pure teachings of pure Krishna Bhakti have almost been eclipsed there. They're infected with Mayavada to a serious degree. But that doesn't mean that even Brahmins 500 years ago, Chaitanya Charitamrita reports, they were studying this book only. That means that these, all the philosophical conclusions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, they were prominent in South India even 500 years ago, which is very recent. So if they were prominent in South India 500 years ago, where did they come from? Vishnu Swami was also from deep south. It's something to think about. These are scholarly things. I don't know if that's answering your question or not.
So this also an interesting fact that some of these sampradayas, they don't really mess up relationships. Like you don't see.
But that's like saying different ISKCON kulas don't have good relationships also, which is a fact. In 2018. ISKCON is also very fractious. This is natural.
This is
because of differences of application, because of differences of views, and it's natural.
So, actually, it is said that is it anywhere mentioned that eventually all these sampradayas will kind of become a single body, where in time to come. If all of us cooperate together and preach, we can do wonderful things in this world.
Yeah, well, again, it's like, what does cooperation mean? And to whom? Because, you know, you can say, you know, we're all cooperating, you know, to some degree, but, you know, what does it mean to cooperate practically? That's really what's going to determine whether you're satisfied with that or not.
We couldn't even get the cooperation of his God brothers, and they were all
correct.
Same under the same group. So.
But he got the cooperation of Sumati Munarji. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
And she's pushed him hard.
Yeah.
So you know that's cooperation. Recently, we were in Tamil Nadu with Sri Vaishnavas. We cooperated with them. This Velukuri Krishnan. The famous Kathakar, he lent us his, he had a place in Alwar Chinnanagari to hold our, we had a yatra there. So, yeah, very nice cooperation. Is that okay? Alright, anything else? Big philosophical discussion. Okay, maybe one more.
The mind chapter,
Jai Shishira. Yes. Well, you know, everything is coming out of... No, it's not the universal form. I would say it's his... Well, there's only two potencies, right? It's his spiritual potency or his material potency. But at a point in time, they're both avyakta. You know, when we're conditioned souls, the spiritual potency is avyakta. And within when material creation, before material creation, that potency is also avyakta. In his impersonal form, I think Prabhupada explains it. You can read the purport I mentioned into that verse. But Srila Prabhupada generally tends to mention that, and tends to emphasize that the Lord is, by his impersonal potency, is permeating his creation. He's not personally everywhere, but by his separated energies, or by his impersonal manifestation of Brahma, or by Paramatma, if you will, he's permeating. Is that clear? The universal form is imaginary. It's a conception for it. For meditation. It actually is not really it's just a conceptual form, hypothetical form. So. I mean, you can say that if you want. It's considered to be one of Krishna's forms. In that sense, it's real. and you know, substantial. But Srila Prabhupada generally doesn't say that. He generally says, and anyway, even if you do say universal form, but universal form means these bhutas, these gunas, these indriyas, etc., which are the same things that Krishna is mentioning here. So in that sense, you can identify, but generally, Prabhupada, as a catch-all for dealing with this sort of relationship between the Lord and His energy, he says it's impersonal energy, either in the material energy or the spiritual energy, but impersonal, not, and it's not His swayam shakti, swayam rupa. Is that okay? All right. Anything else? Otherwise, we'll stop.
Yes, not a Krishna. Give him a break.
Okay. Thank you very much. God bless you.